the Blindside Blitz. I'm Jimmy, and that is Joe right there. Joe, pleasure to see you, buddy.
What's going on?
Jeez, really?
A little bit of a rough start today.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Blitz Nation. Tune in because we got a few stories to cover. We also got some a little bit of tidbits out of training camp, you know, further down the show. But man, there's a lot of news coming out in all different directions. So that's exciting. But listen, if you haven't already done so, if you're new to the show, tell a friend to tell a friend and head over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button for us at Grumblings Media because we are soaring. We're soaring, everybody. I haven't even checked, but I know last time I checked it, we were past 18,000 subscribers and climbing. So make sure while you're there, hit the thumbs up while you're there because it does help us get noticed by other people that would love to listen to NFL talk. Be part of the conversation too. Down in the comment section down below, we are live right now. If you ask a question, if you got an opinion about something that we're talking about, or even if we're not talking about it, drop it down in the comment section down below. We're going to address it as well.
Absolutely, Joe. So again, the talk of what's going on right now is, the Cleveland Cavaliers. What the frig am I doing?
We don't even cover basketball.
Cleveland Browns quarterback competition became even more interesting after Shedeur Sanders, the fifth round pick, who many expected to go much higher in the draft, completed 14 of 23 passes for 138 yards and two touchdowns in his preseason debut against Carolina. He was playing largely because of injuries due to, Kenny Pickett and Dillian Gabriel. You know, he was fourth on the depth chart, but because of those injuries, able to play here. And of course, they're not going to start Joe Flacco here, the veteran who they brought in to lead this squad until one of these quarterbacks that they did draft, or Kenny Pickett possibly, will just take the reins and move on with them with the franchise. But because those two guys are injured, he was able to step up and he made the most of it, Joe. So much so that, again, all those people that love him so much, here they come out here and they're saying he's the next, the coming of Christ here, and he should be possibly fighting for that starting spot here right now.
Well, Jim, all you have to know is that Shedeur is legendary, and that's what the motto has been from the start. Once he got drafted, everybody was well aware of that, and he wants to just let everybody know that he is, in fact, legendary. It's going to happen. You know, he's kind of manifesting his career into being one of the greats, if not one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. So it's one of these funny situations, right? Like, the guy's a four-string quarterback currently, and everybody lost their minds because of how well he played. Now, don't get me wrong. He did. I have to give him credit. He came in as a rookie. He's fourth on the depth chart. Plays his first preseason game, and due to injuries, guess what? You're thrusted into it earlier than anticipated. So, hey, he came out on top. He played extremely well for his first, go at it in preseason. But again, guys, we have to keep it in context. It is a preseason game. Nobody's trying to trick anybody. There's not any game planning against either team. So it's pretty basic defense that he had to play against. It's a basic offense that he's running. So let's just kind of ease up on the all for Shedeur for first string, movement. And honestly, we're going to have to see the rest of the preseason, how in fact plays out, because Shador's done well for himself now. Now he's actually got his foot in the door of the conversation. Like, hey, you had me at fourth string. Now I played pretty well and I'm letting you know that. So what are we doing for next week? Is he going to get playing time now with the threes or the twos again? Is he going to play with the ones next week just to see how well he can execute, Because you're not going to play Flacco most likely still. Kenny Pickett and Gabriel, maybe one of them are back or both of them are back or not. But now Shedeur's earned the right to say, hey, maybe we give this kid some a bigger challenge and have him play earlier, have him play with the ones maybe, and just see what he can do with them.
Right. And I knew it sucks because we didn't get a chance to talk last week, but I knew this was going to be a thing because he had his moment and he had to kind of do something, right? And he had to make it look good, and he did. Yeah, he performed well, didn't make too many mistakes, forced out of pressure, was able to make some plays with his legs. Even the touchdown pass, though, you know me. I say this a bunch of different times. People say, oh, you got to be able to thread the needle and stuff. But I'm thinking if he's playing against starters, though, that's picked off all day. I mean, he's not getting that ball thrown in there. I really don't like the fact that he went for that play particular. He scored, he did. But then also later on, he did have a touchdown that was low and away from the defender, which was perfectly marked, though, too. So I give him kudos for that one, right, which I think was a great shot. But he's got more to learn. And, you know, this is the perfect opportunity for him, but then not for Cleveland, right? Because this is what they did not want to happen, right? They go and draft him late after everybody's expecting him to already be gone or whatever. They already had drafted Dillon Gabriel. Here he is, gets a chance to perform and does well. And even when he goes back to the podium, handles it really well, not so cocky like, you know, he's being portrayed as being. He brings up his other teammates saying that this is, you know, technically their Super Bowl for some of these guys because, you know, they don't know if they're even going to be able to make the team or not, so they want to shine. And it stirs the pot because Joe Flacco, yes, you know, he's the veteran. Yes, he's won a Super Bowl before. Yes, he did come off the couch and lead them to a playoff run before with this great defense, but the moment he doesn't perform well, and if these other two guys, Kenny Pickett or even Dillon Gabriel, don't play as well as he had in the preseason, the murmurs are going to keep going. The fans are going to keep chatting because they're all about it. They're, you know, you want to talk about, you know, whether people thought he was good enough to be a first round pick or not. The fans are really into Shedeur Sanders, a lot of them, and especially the black community. They're really going high behind him. And a lot of it is probably just because, yes, his father, you know what I mean? Deion Sanders, everybody knows Primetime, you know what I mean? He's big, you know, he's a big, big entity, and he's part of why I think the lights are shining so bright on him. But also why I think, you know, he's had really good preparation for the league, too, as well. But the you know this thing, is going to be possibly a distraction throughout the season if he plays well throughout the preseason.
The biggest thing is the fact that he exudes confidence, and that's what people are really rallying behind, is the fact that he's never been shaken. He's never been, you know, deterred from his goals, and he always seems to, like, come out on top. Like, in college, he played well, except for maybe a few games, and then it's not going to deter him in the NFL, where he's going to want to prove everybody wrong in the building and outside of the building. And then in the very end, maybe he can at least have a shot at that starting job. So in all honesty, Joe Flacco is secured in that starting job. There's no threat to him. It's so early in the process. But what Shedeur Sanders has absolutely done is the fact that he has at least put his foot in the door for the conversation of at least being the backup right now to Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want to give a shout out to the chat out there. Mike Jackson's in the house with us. And also a shout out to John Turner, who's also in the house. Mike says 0-16 Lions were also preseason champs. Hashtag never forget. Yes, exactly. Yeah, Giants, you know, before have been great in the preseason, and that don't mean anything, you know, until the regular season starts, right?
Yes,
John Turner says, if you want to win a game, start Flacco. If you want Arch Manning, start Sanders. Arch has said that he's not even going to be declaring this coming year, though, right? I mean, is that
true? No. I mean, this is the thing that bothers me, is the fact that, like, if anybody has watched our show, we've told everybody numerous times, Arch Manning is not coming out next year. He's not. He's going to stay in college. He's going to do the same kind of thing that his brothers did and their father before them. So he's going to play all 4 years, and then he's going to come out into the draft because there's no rush. Especially nowadays with the NCAA and the NIL deals and all that, kid's going to be floating in money through his whole college career. So, yeah, I mean, start Flacco if you want to win. I agree with that. You know, Arch Manning and Sanders, I don't compare them at all. They're different type of quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting, though. Now this has made this whole quarterback, you could even call it a controversy, because when have the Browns not had one? You know, now it's going to make this whole kind of situation really, really interesting going forward throughout the rest of the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So again, this is going to be something that a lot of people are going to be following very, very closely. Mike Tackett says reports are out now that Dylan Gabriel did great at the combine with team meetings, and then a lot of teams inquired about Cleveland trading away their pick and used on Gabriel. He very well could be traded. That could be the thing. I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They voiced it about their opinion about that. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. Let's see what happens. Well, yeah, let's see what happens during the preseason. I mean, imagine Dylan Gabriel plays well, though, too. I mean, and then, you know, whatever.
But here's the thing.
Just Cleveland, though, right?
Yeah, we've already talked about this whole scenario happening and who's going to get cut or traded or whatever. It's not going to be the draft picks. If Shador and Dylan Gabriel both play well, and just play well, they don't have to start or anything, but if they play well enough to where you keep them, I don't think you're trading them right away because you don't know what the answer is after Flacco yet. You don't know which one of them is going to pan out. So you would keep them for now, and Kenny Pickett will probably be on his way out. You know, you got the future here, you know, with these two guys.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, too, though, it's like if Pickett doesn't play well, I mean, there is no trade stock there, so – you know, what do you do with that? Then you just end up probably just releasing them. You cut them. Yeah. So there is no trading there.
Either way, you would
just hang on to the other two young guys, cut Huntley, and then he can find another home somewhere. You know what I mean? But their dream scenario would be something that they would find more, you know, stock or value in one of those quarterbacks to potentially trade and then keep one of them.
We've seen the same thing happen with
With Washington, with Kirk Cousins and RG3, just they ended up not really working out to their advantage in the deal, you know, because again, RG3 ended up getting so injured too that he just wasn't, had a very short career. And Kirk Cousins had the better longevity of his career here, still playing. It's something to follow. This is what is interesting about preseason, but then also you and I, Joe, we talk about this. Don't put a whole lot in the preseason here. Everybody's trying to play, trying to see who's going to make the team. The only difference is some coaches now, and I get like what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing and Zach Taylor. Start Joe, you know, Joe Burrow and some of those starters, stuff like that. There could be a reason why they start slow. There's a slump because maybe they're resting and they just don't get off quicker. Why not do that? I don't mind that strategy at all. But this week, maybe I would have sat them still, but maybe for the following 2 weeks, you'll get them a little bit more involved. But you're seeing that. Different ideas from different coaches about how they're going to attack the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, with these quarterbacks for Cleveland, even if both of them play well, you're not letting go of your young talent, and there's no trade value. You say that. There's not – their trade value is because they're young, but that's all you're going off of. Nobody – even if teams are interested, they're not going to give you a third-round pick for Dylan Gabriel.
No. Mm-hmm.
They're going to give you a sixth or seventh-round pick. Maybe even you could convince them to give them the fifth-round pick where he was drafted from, but you're not getting very much value. So, like, they should hold on to them until other teams can see them for real out on the field when it's live. And they prove themselves that way. Now the value shoots up the boards, and you can get a higher value pick then. But until then, until there's like proof in the pudding for other teams, you're not going to see them going crazy over, you know, given like a day two or even a first round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely, Joe. So, all right, let's move on. Other news: Matthew Stafford unable to practice again. He's been throwing the ball a little bit. He's been found in that crazy chamber, you know, what do they call it? The immortal chamber, you know, and they're spending time there because of his aggravated disc in his back. And, you know, they've been saying it's no big deal, no big deal. But, you know, he's not out there practicing. He is 37 years old. Yes, he did perform well even last year with the injuries to his wide receivers. But, you know, he's not a spring chicken. And we talked about them. Maybe they should have invested in a quarterback, you know, that this is coming year too, somebody to kind of pass the torch to. So they might have to deal with this situation a little sooner than later if Stafford potentially cannot start, or say he gets healthy enough to be, you know, starting this season, but then one wrong twist or tweak and aggravates that back. You and I are both a little older, Joe. I mean, I know what it's like to get a back issue here, and then it's tough to let that thing go away, you know?
Well, this is a little bit different. This is a aggravated vertebrae in his spine. And this is something that he's been dealing with for quite some time in his career, and now he re-aggravated it. So I'm a little concerned for Rams fans out there, because it's an aggravation over time will go away. But he just received an epidural for pain. Like, it's not going to solve the problem, but the reason to get the epidural is because he must have been in some excruciating pain to the point where it was unbearable. And just by dulling that, they're still going to try to work through it and try to utilize other ways of healing. And that's why they have the immortal RV van parked on the side of the field and everything. But this has got to be concerning. I'm sorry. When they are going, they're pulling, you know, everything they can, hyperbaric chambers, you know, different methods of health medicine right there to try to alleviate the pain and try to somewhat fix it holistically. That is worrisome. And I don't know what the end result of this is. Is he going to come out and he's going to be just fine? Or is this more of a dangerous issue? Because let's just say, worst case scenario, this man goes back out there this season and doesn't, and he seems fine, moves around fine, throwing the ball fine, but still dealing with pain behind closed doors, takes one bad hit and is now paralyzed. You know, this is kind of like a dangerous scenario if it is that serious. We don't know all the details. We're trying to get any information we can, but this is concerning, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, and the thing is, too, you got the Rams who are in that spot who, how they played even last year despite injuries, you know, a playoff contender. People expect them to even take this division here with what's going on with the 49ers and expect them to take a downturn. And they just go and get Davante Adams after letting Cooper Kupp go. You know, they're going in again for another year. They want to try to make one more run here with Matthew Stafford. Remember, there was a big decision in the offseason. What are they going to do? Were they potentially going to trade him away? Where they decide to keep him because, again, they're going for one more. They got a great defense, young defense too. And this is it. So all of a sudden, like you said, do they weigh it out and say, hey, maybe it's not worth it, but do they just say, hey, man, we're trying to push this. We got to go. You know what I mean? Do we don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo to go back up in this. I know I've heard a bunch of good things from camp that they like about Stetson Bennett, but, I mean, does anybody expect no. Stetson Bennett to take the ball here and go and then all of a sudden lead these guys to a Super Bowl or, you know, a playoff run? No, you know what I mean? So it's going to be something interesting to follow, and ultimately it's going to be something or a decision that I think even Matthew Stafford has to really look at before even the team decides on what they want to do.
And that's the other part of it, too, is you have – remember when Tua – everybody was complaining about Tua's concussions one after another, you know, and then had that one major concussion, his last one, and everyone's like, well, he might have to think about ending his career. I don't know if it's that serious, but it sounds on the outside looking in, it sounds pretty serious. And it looks suspicious the way they're handling it with Stafford, because in today's practice, he was supposed to be out there, and he wasn't. He was in the RV. He was getting medical attention. So to me, it seems a little bit of a bigger story than what's being let on.
Yeah, definitely. And it was funny, as I was looking up what the whole immortal chamber is, and it's some weird stuff, man. They play soothing music and some
all
crazy different
–
combine multiple modalities into a single experience that improves physical performance, calms the nervous system, and supports cellular health. Next gen experience with soothing music while friendly voiceover guides users through providing breathwork and meditation instructions along with the general support. Sessions usually personalized and last either 15, 25, or 50 minutes. Interesting, you know, because that's the interesting things that I think, like now you see athletes kind of turning into different methods of one training, but then also personal health and well-being throughout the off season and stuff as well, and healing. We've seen Aaron Rodgers turn to ayahuasca and go to Costa Rica and all that other stuff, and then you know we've seen VR people training with that, but now this immortal. Center is pretty interesting too. I don't know how it really works because I've tried to meditate, Joe. I just end up falling asleep. I get too into it, and there is no deep other zen I go to. I just go to bed. So.
Yeah, and you also have the stem cells. You know, yes. And the crazy thing that we've learned about stem cells is that they're made in America, but doctors in America can't inject them into you, which is really strange. So you have to go to Mexico or somewhere like that to get them injected into you. And they seem to work miraculously, at least everything that I've heard. So I wonder if that might be a route that they might express. But although it is right before the season, like what is the recovery rate, you know, for that? Like, is it going to be 4 weeks or something like that? Maybe they can't wait that long. But again, this is a storyline that we're definitely going to have to follow closely and really just find out, like, is it a minor thing that he's just got to deal with it for pain reasons, or is this one of those things that could potentially be fatal?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mike Tackett says, Jimmy G reminds me of Matt Cassel. He had a spark for a minute, but then that was it. He was on that good Patriots team. Had a winning, you know, record for a little while, and it was all right enough to make it to some other teams, try and be their starter, but again, never really panned out somewhere else. Yeah, I think that's a perfect example, actually. I was thinking some other people, maybe Matt Flynn, but I think Matt Cassel probably sums it up a little better. Mike Tackett says, can't do stem cells, but team doctors can give any given player 50 different opiates. Exactly. Yeah, and now they even said they just came up with a new rule about the smelling salts, right? Teams cannot provide them for the players, but does it mean that the players cannot still get them themselves and use them?
The players can go buy them.
Yes, that's
right. It's just the team can't provide them.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
So it's image again, Joe. It's image again. Because that they put it, because everybody's watching, because you see it more often, because I thought it was different, because I knew they used them, but you never saw it so openly on camera before until like last year, year before. And then I think people start talking. Like, what are they doing? People that don't know the game. Because how many more people watch football now? One, because of Taylor Swift, even too, Joe. I mean, they just do. You know, it's out there more. So they're like, they don't know what the hell that is. Like, what are they doing? What are they just crap? What's he sniffing? And then he throws it away. So I think ultimately they did it for like an image. They always look at their image first. And then they say, well, we're not going to provide them, or teams won't provide it for players. But players can still go get it and use it. But now if people still see it on camera that they're using it, we didn't give it to them or anything.
That's my point.
It's not like it's a crazy drug, though.
The image thing is out the window, because if it was an image thing, then you would just abolish them altogether.
Nobody
could use them. But this doesn't make any sense, because you're like, teams can't provide them for you, but hey, players, go buy 50, 1,000, however many you want for the season, and just bring them. And guess what's going to happen? The players are going to buy them. They're going to bring them to the team facilities, and then they're going to have them. They are stored. It's just the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like bring your own beer when you go to the party or something like that, right? That's what it is. It's like, you know, or it's like. It's like the parent but that's what kind of reminds me of it. You know, the fact that it's like the parent that has the party for his young kids or whatever, but says, I'm not supplying the alcohol for you guys because technically I'm not buying you alcohol. Mm-hmm. But if it shows up and you guys bring the alcohol, you know, that's what it is. You know what I mean? So it's kind of weird. But it's not like the NFL's like, hey, we need to save some money. We need to stop buying smelling salts for these guys. You know, they have to get them themselves. You know, it's like that. You know, it's not that. So
we're a 10 plus billion dollar industry, but you know what?
We can't afford those smelling salts anymore.
The teams can't afford them. Nobody can afford them. It's getting too expensive.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so John Turner, he says, only a matter of time before they're using cyborgs and robots across the board and people will still watch because they have nothing better to do. It will be a long time, I think, before we get the cyborgs and everything and stuff like that. But we love you, John. Absolutely. So, yeah, Matthew Stafford. Hey, I'm wishing him luck, man, and stuff. Right. And you know, yeah. It would suck for the Rams because, again, I do think they have a really good team. They do have a shot while they have him there. Yes.
It's a team that's ready to win now. Mm-hmm. And that's why they gave Matt Stafford the money and kept him. It's because they're like, well, if we lose Stafford, we don't have a quarterback. We don't have an answer there. And we're not going to be able to get one, so let's just pay the man and go for another championship. So hopefully Stafford's going to be, you know, end up being okay, going to be ready to go week one. But this is something that is definitely concerning and interesting to follow for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So guys, we love it. We love you guys acting up.
Thanks
in
for the comments.
Chat too, definitely for the comments. Also tell us too, what did you guys like about so far with the preseason? You looking to check out, I know you guys have your favorite teams, but then also any rookies you're looking at, what did you think about rookie performances out there? We got to see Tyler Shuck out there. He did all right.
He did terrible.
Jackson Dart, you know, looked, I thought, pretty
Jackson
good.
Jackson Dart did really good. I liked what I saw from him.
Right, right, right. And, you know, but again, Giants offense, they were doing a bunch of little dink and dunks and things like that. A lot of yak, too, from the Giants, which I like to see, you know. But again, it's preseason. It is what it is. You know, you just want to see something and, so, you know, maybe some development. Again, something promising, right, that you can maybe look forward to for the future.
For sure.
Again, for Giants fans, for me, it's been very bleak for a while. So, but stories around the NFL, Joe, what you got here for some stories here?
Well, in big time story news in the courts, John Gruden said that he is eager to discover the truth in a Nevada courtroom about whether Commissioner Roger Goodell and the NFL leaked the emails to the media before he was forced to resign from the Raiders head coaching duties. And he won his case.
He did.
It's moving forward. Obviously, the NFL is going to appeal it. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
If the NFL cannot win that appeal, then things are going to get real. Like John Gruden is going to force them to open up all the emails that people were, you know, that the NFL was hiding, that they didn't want to release. They didn't want to make it public because they didn't want anybody to see what was going to happen. And there's a lot of information from what we're hearing that they don't want out. And it could open up a can of worms for sure. You're opening up basically Pandora's box that should have remained sealed. And if this, in fact, goes forward and everything kind of works out in the courts for John Gruden, then a lot of information.
Yeah, and I hope this doesn't end up like the Epstein files, right, Joe? I mean, because, this is just as big, right? And you're kind of not as big, but for the NFL, you know, view. But if anybody could do it and win, that's what I mean. It's like John Gruden. Like, that, nobody ever dares to kind of face them, and you know he's not going to, like, take a payout. You know what I mean? Because most of the way NFL gets away with things, that's what I mean.
Right.
They're just like, hey, they take care of it all of a sudden. Now all of a sudden, on the judges' side, hey, oh, no, we're side with the NFL anyways. Like, whoa, where did that verdict come from? Like, that came out of left field. Like, I know how.
That's the problem, though.
But Gruden, has something here. And I wish the best for him.
The NFL has been kind of using their power play with judges in the courts to get out of harm's way, to get out of trouble. And they pulled it off before. And now with Gruden being very persistent, saying, you know what? No, I'm going to appeal. And then he won his. It's almost like for the first time in a long time, the courts are starting to like say, you know what? This isn't right. John Gruden's not going to let up because he lost his career over this. It's not like, oh, well, he was going to retire anyway, so not that big of a deal. They'll pay him off. He'll go away. He lost his career, still wanted to coach, still wants to coach, and he's been basically blackballed from the NFL in terms of coaching. So he wants to win and to show everyone that they do some shady shit in the background and wants to get his job back. So We'll see how it all unveils. We'll have to keep monitoring that, but that's one piece of news that I think is very interesting as well to follow.
All right, we've got Mike Tackett in the house. He says, I tried sniffing salts a few times during my play days. I didn't get this performance enhancement. I just had the smell of cat piss in my sinus cavities. if you want a good rush, go to John Henderson way and have the equipment manager open palm slap you in the face.
There you go.
Five fingers say to the face. Slap. right? I know, get amped up another way. I don't know. If it really does smell like cat piss, I mean, I don't know. That's pretty interesting. I don't know why people would want to do that. But maybe we do have a sniffing salts challenge on the show now. We've done the mayonnaise and the coffee challenge. I've done the scorpion, Trinidad scorpion pepper. So maybe I do the sniffing salts challenge. If it really does smell like that, maybe it'll do nothing, but who knows? But maybe.
Oh, no, it's going to do
having,
something.
Having though. The smell of cat piss in my nose will be entertaining it's enough. Intense. I'm trying to do the
it's
show.
Intense. I'll say that right now. It's intense.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah. So.
All right, so what else? What else we got? We got stories around the NFL. Guys, again, in the chat, if you guys have anything you want to talk about with the preseason too, what you like, what you don't like, any rookies you're looking at, what you liked out of them, you know, let us know in the chats. We're open to talking about it.
The Saints fear that center Will Clapp suffered a serious foot injury that is believed to be season-ending, so unfortunately they're going to lose another, like, rotational offensive lineman for them. So that's one of the pieces of news that came out. Obviously, for all the people that think Shador is going to immediately start, we've already talked about it. Joe Flacco is still on top, but by a large margin, it's not even close, after all the practices and everything. In other news, we witnessed in preseason last week, Cam Little's 70-yard field goal, which is the longest field goal at any game level, by the way, in football forever. Like, this is it's the first time it's ever happened at any level. So, Cam Little is on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, in fantasy, you might want to pick him up because he seems to have a strong leg.
Now, what about this question? Let's pose this to the chat out there. All right, everybody. Should this field goal now, like, it's the longest one ever, right? You know, ever. So
at any level.
At any level. So, should this go down in, like, the stat book, like, at Hall of Fame, like, you know, and be recognized as the longest? I know they track regular season stats, but then preseason stats, you know, just whatever, and they don't really matter. But I feel like seeing he did do this, I feel like it still needs to be tracked, and there needs to be an asterisk about it, say, hey, this is the long. Like, if you go to ask a trivia question and say, what was the longest field goal ever made? I feel like this should be the answer, but, you know, it would be a stipulation. It was, when was it made? Oh, it was made by Little in the preseason game, blah, 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 blah. Because it's still a game, and I get it with some people, like, well, they're not trying to block it the whole time. It's just, you know, preseason or whatever and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, that's still an accomplishment. It's one thing if you're just practicing and you're like, oh, this guy was hitting 70-footer, you know, or yarders or whatever, this in practice or whatever. But that's practice where there's literally nobody there. There's still people there and engaging, and I think – there's still pressure on top of it, too. I don't know. I still think that this should be tracked, at least with an asterisk, and say, hey, this was recorded. We know about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was the longest one was made in preseason.
You could record it, but I don't view this as a record because it's in preseason. It's one of those things where, you know, just like anybody that does a major feat in preseason, everybody says the same thing. It's preseason. No one is really going all out every snap. You know, there's guys that take some plays off because they're more comfortable with their position or whatever. And it's one of these things that, like, unless it happens in real live action, because talk about pressure for a kicker. It's the crowd, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's the loudness of the crowd and how loud they get and how, you know, intimidating it might feel being at a visitor's field. That's really what the real pressure is. And if he was able to do that again during a regular season game, that would be just unbelievable. But I think because it's in a preseason setting, there's really not a lot of people at any one of these games. And it's like, it's just not as exciting to me that he made it. It's cool. It's a cool thing. And it's something that will be talked about for sure because it is an accomplishment for him. personally, but don't view that it should be like a recognized in the Hall of Fame or anything. Mm-hmm. In my
opinion. Yep. What else you got for stories?
All right, so we got Eagles guard Landon Dickerson is believed to have suffered a meniscus injury to his right knee. Still trying to wait to see how long he might be missing some time for. Obviously, it's going to be a couple weeks, maybe more, as he heals back. But that's it for training camp news.
All right, what else we got? We got some more stuff in the chat here. Preseason NFL is equivalent to the scenes being cut out from a movie or TV show. They don't matter, and I don't watch it. So there you go. That's John's opinion on preseason games. I don't watch a whole lot of it either. You know, I watch some of it. I bounce in and out. You know, I watch some highlights here and there. But
right.
Again, at least even the early ones, like towards later cuts, I'm looking at some of these guys too, because later cuts end up being a guy that still might make a roster somewhere else. Once they get cut, you know, somebody grab him, put him on their team. That's what the Patriots were really well known for, too, in grabbing some guys here off of waivers here and there. And little kind of unknown guys that you're, like, kind of root for, right? We saw that even with, Callaway with, the Saints. Now he's longer with them. But then, you like some of these preseason heroes and see what happens with them, you know, when they make it into the regular season, see what they can do. I think that's real fun to watch. But, again, like you said, nothing really to bat an eye about. You're not like, oh man, the preseason grade was freaking amazing, bro. You know, but thing though too is because again, I was listening to one of the shows on the radio, and they were talking about again Shedeur Sanders and what he kind of brings to the table with fan bases, the black community. There was a guy called in that literally had a tailgate party like at his house to watch the Cleveland preseason game. You know, in Cleveland, to watch Shedeur Sanders, and they're hyped. Like, they want this guy to succeed so badly. They're having parties about it. You know what I mean? The fact that he played well. Like, they're having a good time about it. But I don't know. Maybe it's Cleveland, though, too, right? They just want something good to happen. So they just give any excuse to have a party, though, right, Joe?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, and then what else we got here? Mike Tackett says Gruden will be the next head coach at LSU. He's looking it right there.
Maybe Mr. Mike has some inside info.
Yeah.
Huh? You like that?
Yeah, maybe. John responds and says, nope. Nope. Oh, put the door on it.
Bottom line, the preseason is more for the staffs of each team. It's for them to evaluate their talent and see who's going to make the roster and whatnot. And there's going to be some tough cuts, and there is every season for teams, because I'll tell you right now, I was watching the Chargers preseason game, and there was a couple of, like, ballers on that roster that were, like, third string. And it's like, you're going to see other teams watch guys like that on opposite teams, too, that are evaluating talent, that are hoping that maybe one of those guys will be cut, so maybe they can add them to their roster, so or practice squad even. That's basically all it is.
Mike Tackett again in the chat. We love it, Mike. We love you out there. He says, look how the judges overturned their own decision after the Sunday ticket ruling. Exactly. That's the one I was thinking of, because that was totally sus, right? You know, and you're just like, dude, you're like, okay, there's going to be something. They're like, oh, the NFL might, you know, have to, you know, be in trouble on this one, right? And then all of a sudden they're like, nope, we're going to flip it. I'm like, what? What happened? What happened? And then you know what happened. You're like, really? Come on, man. Just when you thought you had him, you let him off the hook, right? So, and then he also says, remember when Tony Danza played a trash-picking field goal kicker for the Eagles and made a 70-yard field goal?
Yeah.
did he? I don't know. I don't remember. Was that a movie that he was in? I remember he was like a retired baseball player on Who's the Boss, right? Didn't he play like for the Reds or the Cardinals or something like that? I can't remember.
Something.
Yeah, St. Louis Cardinals, I want to say, maybe, or something. But Tony Danza, playing an athlete all the time. He made a 70-yard field goal, huh? Maybe. Yeah, who knows? But then Al Bundy also did it. You got the jersey, too, don't you? I hope Joe Al Bundy
did
four touchdowns in one game or something like that, right? You know, Polk High, record or something, school record, right?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's funny.
One other
thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Couple other things I wanted to touch on is like the Colts quarterback, competition is between Anthony Richardson, who is still like fighting to get back completely healthy, but is well enough to start throwing the football, and Daniel Jones. There's some ups and downs with that. You know, obviously with Richardson, we know he has flaws, and Daniel Jones, we know like he has his, but this is going to be a competition that I view going right down to the very end until they have absolute and are convinced who they're going to go with. So that's going to be something to watch. It's a tight race. Travis Hunter,
yeah, everybody's favorite dual threat. Before you get into that, I just want to say, if any kind of thing I'm watching on preseason is probably that, like when it gets into it, like how they play in the preseason to see who might win that job, because that's probably the most interesting quarterback competition job out there right now, you know what I mean, for the Colts. Daniel Jones, you know, being a guy that's looking for redemption, and now he's the veteran in that squad, which is funny. And then Richardson, who again, you know, trying to prove that he's a guy that can be their leader and stay healthy and lead them somewhere, because again, not playing well at first, you know, couple of seasons here, being injured too, but then after being benched, after taking himself out of a game, having a little bit of a redemption song. So I think that'll be interesting to watch for that.
Yeah. So Travis Hunter, two-way player, who a lot of people don't think he can handle being on both sides full-time, that is. He had his preseason game, and there was a lot of good, but there also was some bad things that was happening to him. And, you know, some of that might be teachable, but other than that, it's the physicality that was getting the better of him. He plays like he's, you know, 6 feet tall and 275 mm-hmm. pounds, but he's not. So it'll be something interesting to watch, but also it's going to be difficult. Like Devontae Adams even said that he doesn't envision any player could handle that full time. It's just utterly
taxing. Yeah, so, yeah.
For Travis Hunter and what he was able to display, but that was a part-time thing. So I don't know if we'll ever get to where he's looking to get, you know, be able to play full-time both sides. But I'll tell you right now, the physicality of the NFL is a whole different beast, so it's going to be a struggle for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, Joe. I think the one thing that's interesting, too, is Jordan Love getting his left hand injured and now having the surgery here, but he will be good to go, they're saying, right for week one. And that's big for the Packers and Packers fans out there, because again, I feel like they need to perform and get back to the playoffs and show that he's actually not like a one and done flash in the pan, because again, waiting in wings behind Aaron Rodgers and then comes out and looks pretty good. But since, you know, then, like, didn't perform good well, you know, last in the playoffs last season, and kind of never got back to what he looked like in that first season. So, you know, I mean, is he really, truly, you know, the guy? You know, he's still kind of unproven. But, all right, so that's it. That's the show for tonight. We appreciate you guys staying with us. We love it when you guys are always in the comments. Shout out to Mike Tackett. Shout out to John Turner out there. Everybody else that's watching too as well, don't be shy. You know, we can light it up in the chat too. Say hi. We love it out there. We love to communicate with you guys. Joe, tell right.
everybody
how they can find the show one more time.
Listen Let's to me. Do this. Don't listen to Jim. Listen to me.
No, listen to Joe. He's got a better
voice. Here we go. We're going to go to YouTube right now. If you're not already on there, head over to YouTube. Head over to Grumblings Media for us. Hit that subscribe button, because we are flying over there. We're moving right up the charts. Want everybody else to be part of the show. Tell a friend to tell a friend. While you're there, hit the thumbs up. It does help other people get, you know, more notoriety for us, and maybe draws them to our lovely show here. But appreciate everybody in the comment section below. Billy, we love you too, bro. Thank you guys for tuning in. And until next week, we'll see you then.